Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii. I'm Danny Yamashiro. Welcome to The Good Life. We're here to help unleash your God-given purpose. Alex Cheng recently spent the last 3 years as a missionary in Taiwan, helping with a small church plant. In addition to traveling with various Mandarin-speaking teams to various nations across Asia. His road to Asia, his road to Taiwan, is an extension on the road to life, his story of the journey of faith that speaks of process, that speaks of challenge, that speaks of authenticity. And when we're honest with God, God moves in a way of foundational strength and integrity. And there can be confidence there when it comes to living the life, living a fulfilled life. And Alex has experienced that, and we want to share how that can be your experience as well. Through faith in Jesus Christ, who loves you so much. He died on the cross for your sins. He shed his blood on that cross to wash your sins away. He was buried, and 3 days later, he rose again from the grave. And the living Jesus, the living Christ, calls you to himself today. And like Alex, would you open your heart to Jesus? Alex Cheng currently works as the media director at C4, Christ-Centered Community Church. He also leads their young adults group. This is a pre-recorded interview with Alex Cheng. Alex, welcome to our show.
Yeah, no, thank you for having me. I'm really blessed to be here.
Alex, where did you grow up?
Yeah, I was born in Boston, out of all places. I was actually raised in a small town called Brookline. Everybody confuses it with Brooklyn. But just right in the outskirts of Boston was there till I was just about 4 years old. And then our family relocated us to Los Angeles, where I pretty much spent my elementary school, junior high school days. And from there, just been all over the place.
Well, I'll tell you, Alex, how many people can say that they were born in the same place that John F. Kennedy was born? You can say that.
I can.
And I hear the school system is excellent. A lot of physicians there, Harvard Medical School. What were you doing in Brookline? What was your family doing at that time?
For me, I was only there till I was four. Right, so four. My recollection is only from, you know, playing around with Play-Doh and playing with
parents?
Toys
what
and
were
stuff.
Your parents doing?
My mom was a pharmacist, and my dad was actually a chemist. And so he was doing lots of research at Brandeis University, and my mom was working at the time. So they were just busy just trying to I'm the youngest of three kids. We're all boys. And so they were just literally just trying to support us and to make a living so that we could survive and we could just thrive, I guess.
So you go to Los Angeles. What was it like growing up there?
Growing up in LA, I could probably honestly say in my elementary school days, was a little bit sheltered in terms of just expectations from parents and their desire to just want us to excel. And, you know, we grew up playing violin and being involved in lots of extracurricular activities like sports. And so we were good kids to a certain extent. But yeah, our parents really kept a close watch on us, just really wanting us to excel in terms of going to college and doing well on our SATs and just being able to just be ready for our careers and be successful in the world.
So I take it you You worked hard in your mathematical skills.
I was pretty good at math. I was pretty awesome at math. I would, you know, if I look back when I was in junior high school, I would get A pluses on all my, but then when it came to the sciences and chemistry, biology, I had D's and F's in those different part of the brain.
Who would you say, Alex, influenced you most in your growing up years?
I would have to say my middle brother, Jesse. He was the exceller at everything. He was captain of the cross country team. I don't think he ever got an A minus. He got A pluses, or if he had a bad day, he got an A. I just always hung around him and his friends, and he just really modeled that person that I wanted to be like, and just the brotherly love, I guess, that we had for each other too. We just had this closeness where I just couldn't trust really anybody else except him, just because he so was the person that I really wanted to just strive in to be like.
You stay in touch with him now?
We actually kind of have a strained relationship right now. Just kind of more, I think, within the last year or so, just some communication issues about, you know, stuff growing up that you know, just the reality, just some difficulties in terms of just trying to understand different values, and even me becoming a Christian and just going all crazy for Jesus really wasn't something that settled with him, and that actually kind of distanced our relationship in a lot of ways too.
You talk about A minuses. Actually, the A minus is an Asian C, right?
Or it's an Asian D D minus.
I remember a classmate of mine getting a A minus and hearing of him crying. Of course, that was not the case for me. An A minus is a B plus even would have been a case of celebration, right?
Yeah.
For me. Now, how did you mentioned about your faith,
right?
Coming to Christ. How did you become a Christian?
Yeah. Oddly enough, we were raised in a Christian household, and I was actually baptized as a baby beyond my recollection. But just raised with Christian values, always going to church. When we were growing up, I went to our parents raised us up in what was called a First Formosa church in more Taiwanese, and then this was in downtown. But we, you know, would regularly go to church every Sunday. And for me, I personally didn't have a relationship with Christ. But I pretty much went to church just to play with friends and to cause trouble. And I remember, you know, we had a two-story church, and after service, every Sunday, we would go on top of the balcony, and we would try to spit on as many people as we could that were coming out of chapel or out of the congregation. So I was a rascal. I was a rascal growing up in church, and we learned all the Sunday school stories. And knowledge-wise, I think I learned a lot, but in terms of just character, in terms of just being having that relationship with Christ and understanding what it meant to be a man of God, those things just didn't really resound in me at all. I just wanted to have fun, and just thought church was the thing that every family did on Sundays, whether or not God was involved or not.
So take us further. How did God reach this kid that was doing who was a rapscallion?
Yeah,
as a little guy. How did God work in your life to, you know, where you are today?
Yeah, when I was in about the fifth grade, our parents had a little bit of falling out with our church elders, and suddenly we just stopped going to church. And you know, we would, as kids, we would always complain about just the journey into downtown, and I think it was just really wearing on them, just the combination of these different things happening. So we literally just stopped going to church, and me and my brothers would always just question, like, you know, we feel that there's something missing. Even, you know, in the sixth grade, we felt that there is a disconnection. And at that time, we asked our parents if we could go to church at a place that was a little bit more local. And there was a church, there was a Presbyterian church that was kind of close to the YMCA around the block of our house. So we would ride our bikes to church. Me and my brothers, we would just be kind of in a mini caravan, and we would ride to church, and our parents would give us our our dollars for tithes and offering, and we would join the youth group, and we just really, you know, use that time to just connect with other young people. Me personally, I didn't, it didn't feel right. I pretty much went for the candy, went for the friends. But in terms of, there was a time where my brothers, they went through a, I guess in the Presbyterian church, they went through like a confirmation process. And I really never knew what it meant or had any interest to join that class. But when my time came, I think when I was in about the eighth grade, my parents were really pushing me to get confirmed just as my brothers had did previously. And honestly, I just couldn't do it. I just told them I didn't feel it, that I was ready, or I didn't feel like that I had. I just felt like there was something in my heart that wasn't right, and I wasn't ready to take that step.
You know, that's significant from the standpoint of integrity. There's a strength there too. Of course, you know, a parent, someone who's who wants to see their child grow in the Lord, come to know the Lord, as we say in Christian parlance.
Right.
For them to do that, to go ahead and accept Christ, get baptized, be confirmed.
Sure.
Alex Cheng is explaining his part of the journey of faith. It starts when he was a little boy, or a rascal of a boy. It speaks of him coming to a place where, within himself, he made a choice. He wasn't going to just follow just for the sake of following, even though he knew in his heart things weren't right. There was a gritty truth about the way that he was going to respond to this opportunity. It really laid a foundation to the life of faith that he would have years later. Truth is really speaking about intimacy with God, perhaps even the way God looks at us, maybe beyond just the perhaps, the way he sees us, wanting us to be really honest with him. When we come back, you'll hear more from Alex Cheng as he continues to explain his incredible journey, his journey of faith. It'll relate to your life of faith as well. Stay with us, okay? We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Danny Yamashiro Ministries presents the Good Life Partnership Club. Join today and receive Danny Yamashiro's inspirational biography, Paradise Calls, as an ebook, a slice of the Good Life CD by mail, a monthly personal letter from Danny that include inspiring devotionals, insider's access of new stories to share, and quarterly newsletters featuring guests, resources, and opportunities for ministry. Plus, a personal invitation to have dinner with Danny Yamashiro this year and a special Christmas gift exclusively for club members. All this for a minimum monthly commitment of just $25 per month at thegoodlifehawaii.com. For less than $1 per day, the Good Life Partnership Club membership will enrich you and multiply by spreading the hope of Jesus Christ to millions across the United States and the world. People like your family and friends. Join today at thegoodlifehawaii.com and click Partners. That's thegoodlifehawaii.com.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Polymomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042. 484-2042.
There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time, so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Well, among billions of people on the face of planet Earth, one may feel about themselves as though they are a blip on the screen or a tiny little dot among many, the masses, and at times begin to wonder about your significance. Do I even matter? Does anybody know that I'm here? Does God know that I exist? If he does exist, is there any kind of plan or purpose for my life? Is there a reason why I'm going through what I'm going through at this moment? You're listening to The Good Life Radio Show. I'm Danny Yamashiro. Thank you for joining us today. Hey, look, if you were just tuning in right now and you caught the tail end of our last segment, you can get the program in its entirety for free at thegoodlifehawaii.com. We've got that and other resources available for you. I'm here in this pre-recorded interview with Alex Cheng. Alex is the media director at C4, Christ-Centered Community Church. He also leads their young adult group. Now let's go back to our time with Alex as he shares heart to heart about what happened when he was young and an opportunity he had to make a decision for Christ. Here's what he did. There's a strength there too. Of course, you know, a parent, someone who wants to see their child grow in the Lord, come to know the Lord, as we say in Christian parlance.
Right.
For them to do that, to go ahead and accept Christ, get baptized, be confirmed.
Sure.
In whatever the church polity and protocol is,
right,
in that tradition. Something in you, though, welled up and said, "No, I don't sense it. I don't feel it. I don't believe in this way." There's a strength there, and there's a clarity there. I mean, we can look at it and see. Well, it takes guts, I think, to do that. Where does that come from, in you, Alex?
I think that came from my mom was always a strong woman, and I think that she really played the father role in my life growing up, just really having a strong voice and a strong say. And I think a lot of that just really resounded within me too. Even when I was young, I would always just, you know, in the before Christ times, it was always my way or the highway, right? I would be, you know, really spoiled in a sense, but at the same time too, I would be very black and white about different things that I either liked or I didn't like. And I wasn't really scared to verbalize that. And I never was somebody that would want to, I guess, even at that age, you know, in the eighth grade, I would never want to compromise, or I would rather just, even in my youth, just want to be real and just say, hey, this is how I'm feeling. This is what I'm choosing, even though everybody might not agree with it. But this is really where I stand.
I go back. I mentioned the word strength. I wonder how God looks at that. You know, if he sees someone, they're not believing, but they're honest and they're strong in their disbelief.
Right.
But there's this sense of, would God rather have someone that just says it because everyone else is saying it?
Sure.
They don't really believe it. They're just going for whatever other reason. Or someone that says, no, I'm not there yet.
Yeah.
I can't do it.
Right.
So for you, I'm alluding to something.
Right.
There's this, it's hard for me not to have a sense or a belief that God is wanting, because he's a God of truth.
Right?
What's really deep down inside your heart? Almost to the point, if you don't believe, then say you don't believe.
Right.
And but if you do believe, then walk like you believe.
Exactly.
And make a choice. And you know, that may sound like I jumped on my soapbox and I'm writing this this preaching cart, so to speak, but it means something in you. Okay, so how did it come to a point where you did finally, this strong Alex Chang,
right.
young boy.
The turning point.
Yeah, what's the turning point?
Yeah, the turning point was actually, you know, just to fast forward, I had gone through a lot of career success and was making a lot of money. And I even worked on Wall Street as a web consultant for a while. But as I was kind of trying to find, you know, this whole soul searching thing and having not, you know, after that whole experience, kind of coming back to church and falling back out and really struggling with a lot of the world's expectations and just what I thought would, you know, provide false fulfillment or false sense of security with myself. I just went on this hunt in terms of significance, in terms of finding out why I was created, you know, what I was passionate about, the different kinds of things that would, you know, in the end, just be able to answer, okay, why am I here on earth? And in everything that I was pursuing, especially like in my early 20s, it would be career, it would be money, it would be womanizing, it would be even through alcohol and drugs. And I just wasn't finding that fulfillment. I wasn't finding, you know, any sense of worth. I would always question myself and just say, hey, there's got to be more than this. There's got to be more. And when you talk about the turning point, there is a time where I was just about to finish grad school in California. I went to art school in Pasadena, and one of the most renowned art schools in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And was really just blessed by that experience and just the different international people that I got to meet, and just seeing, you know, all these different faces of life and perspective. And I was, as I was just preparing to graduate, I started questioning what would happen once I graduated. It would just be going back to that 9-to-5. And I remember, you know, when I was working in New York and had a bunch of other 9-to-5s too, that those were actually the most miserable times of my life. You know,
why?
It was a huge part of energy. It was a huge part of my time that I was devoting to working for somebody where, you know, the return was very little in terms of, you know, if you look at it as a monetary point of view, any corporation will just make the huge percentage while we get like a little bit of a cut. And then just the different dramas, the different interaction, and just even the significance of working on different projects. I never really saw the point, or I never really saw those really aligning with my passions and my pursuit of what I wanted to do in terms of finding that significance, finding that meaning. So all these different things, they just didn't line up. And I would just question, like, really, why am I doing? Why am I throwing? I felt like I was really throwing away my life. And was it just to make six figures? Was it just to, you know, to build my resume or to build myself on a social scale? But those things weren't enough. They were very unsettling for me. And I came to one point, it was late in the night, and I literally just fell to my knees and I just cried out. I hadn't prayed to God in years, and I asked him, I just said, God, you know, there's just got to be something more than this. There's got to be something more. And if you're real, if you're out there, if you're everything that you say that you are, I ask that, you know, that you speak to me. And it was really in that time where I really felt, for the first time, I felt just a resonating voice in my heart. And I really, at the time, I didn't term it in terms of, oh, this is the Holy Spirit or this is God. But I just really felt like, well, there's a voice that I'm hearing that's not mine. And it's so audible. It's so loud. It's so clear. How could I possibly even be thinking this? Because this is beyond my rationale. This is beyond my own reasoning. But there's something supernatural that's happening. And what this voice said, it, you know, God was just telling me to follow my dreams. And when I heard just those simple words, it really made me think and reflect. The next 2 weeks, I was just praying about, you know, what does it mean to follow my dream? Or, you know, having been raised in a very traditional kind of Asian, maybe Asian American upbringing, I never even knew that I had the permission to dream. I would always think that there were certain expectations that I had to live out. And that in terms of my own passions, my own dreams, my own desires, I didn't even know that I had permission to have those. And but God was saying, hey, like, you have all this, you have this whole realm now right in front of you where I'm giving you all the ability to follow what it is that your heart desires. And so having come back down to that, I really started thinking about, what is my dream? What is it that I would love to just pour my life into if I didn't have to work for money, if I didn't have to, you know, spend my time in an office? But what is it that I would really just love to spend the rest of my life doing? And how could I just really create impact? How could I find significance in this world? And I honestly had no clue. I had little inklings of, you know, just ideas of things that I enjoyed. And one of the concepts that I always had in my mind at that, you know, just very young, tender age was that I just wanted to retire early. And I was like, you know, I'm just so tired of this whole 9-to-5 thing. Why can't I retire early and just live the rest of my life the way that I want to live it? And when I was thinking about that, I had gone to UH actually in 97 for summer school. And in this time when I was at UH, just for a short 3 months, but I just really felt a sense of community, a sense of compassion, sense of aloha that the people had here in Hawaii that I had never had when I was in LA or when I was growing up in other places. But I just told myself, you know.
Well, Alex is expressing his initial inclination to the islands. It's going to grow, as you will soon hear, with the beginning of something that will bloom later on. Again, part of his journey, part of his journey of faith, based on a response. Now, the Lord speaks to him. He's talking about dreams, a freedom to dream. Have you ever felt that God has given you an opportunity? Yeah, the ability to dream, to think, to see things beyond your current situation. Maybe you are a dreamer. Maybe you take relief in those dreams. But do you know that in those dreams, there are bridges of reality that could take you to new vistas of seeing, yes, but also living, experiencing these dreams? When we come back, Alex Chang will share more how it happened to him. You don't want to miss this now. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Have you heard the stories on the Good Life Hawaii radio show with Danny Amashiro and his guests?
Yup. I listen to Danny's show every day. Those testimonies inspire me in my life at work, with my family, and in my relationship with God.
Did you ever visit thegoodlifehawaii.com? There's all kinds of resources there. Danny Amashiro has interviewed hundreds of guests on subjects like parenting, business, relationships, depression, overcoming addiction, hope, and so much more.
As a matter of fact, I have. Did you know there are videos where Danny prays for your family, your finances, even a video I've used to help lead my friends to Christ?
Wow. And I hear Danny is offering special opportunities and benefits for his Good Life Partnership Club members.
Yep. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and remember to connect with Danny on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter, too. That's Danny Yamashiro.
I'm going to visit thegoodlifehawaii.com today.
A healthy smile can make all the difference, but where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Waihua. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Waihua, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii radio show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out? Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com, Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created.
In times of economic challenge, opportunities arise. All we need is someone to say, "I believe in you." Michael Beasley, a senior executive of Kaiani Team Aloha, has seen Kaiani products improve the quality of people's lives. Michael Beasley says Kaiani's mission is to empower people globally to experience better health, wealth, and a lot of fun. Contact Michael Beasley at 277-9528. Live outside the 9-to-5 workday. Become the CEO of your own business while Kaiani handles the details. That's Michael Beasley at 277-9528. 277-9528. Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. There are times when injuries take place. In some cases, surgical care is necessary. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi at 484-2042, 484-2042.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ Is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special
Alex
guest.
Alex Chang has always had a passion to shepherd and disciple people. And his passion is to release others into all that God has designed and created them to be. He's on staff at C4, Christ-Centered Community Church. You can find out more at christcentered.tv. Again, christcentered.tv, Christ-Centered Community Church. C4, pastor by Pastor Fernando Castillo. Alex Chang is in studio today. In this pre-recorded interview, let's listen in on his explanation, description of his journey of faith, how he surrendered his life to Jesus Christ.
One of the concepts that I always had in my mind at that, you know, just very young, tender age was that I just wanted to retire early. And I was like, you know, I'm just so tired of this whole 9-to-5 thing. Why can't I retire early and just live the rest of my life the way that I want to live it? And when I was thinking about that, I had gone to actually in 97 for summer school. And in this time when I was at just for a short 3 months, but I just really felt a sense of community, a sense of compassion, sense of aloha that the people had here in Hawaii that I had never had when I was in LA or when I was growing up in other places. But I just told myself, you know, and I was 19 at that time, I just told myself one day when I retire, when, you know, all is said and done after, you know, I've earned my millions of dollars, when I have permission to do this, then I'm going to move to Hawaii and live my dream. But then I really felt right when I had that thought of, you know, why can't I just do that now? Why do I have to wait? Why do I have to, like, you know, if I still have to be responsible to build a career.
This is at 19.
This is when I was, this is when I was, fast forward, when I was like about maybe 24, 25.
Okay.
I was just thinking, why can't I do those things now? And so I went back to, you know, just my posture of prayer, and it was really childlike. I was just like a, you know, kid with my knees bent down, and I just said, God, this is what I want to do. I want to move to Hawaii. It sounds ridiculous, and it's just not really of me, but this is something that I just want to make a choice and just do this for myself. And then that's when I heard the second audible voice from the Lord, and he said, okay, I want you to follow your dreams. But in that moment, you know, in those times where you're giving yourself to this dream, you need to give me your life. And I said, okay, what does that mean?
What does that mean?
Yeah, what does that mean? Okay, I figured out the dream part, but I don't know what it means to give God my life. And so, you know, in just my very...
And all this time, were you connected to a church? Were you going?
I wasn't even going to church. I was connected. This was just really, you know, bedside, just talking to God.
Spirit.
Just me and the Holy Spirit. I'm just having these conversations. Mm-hmm. And alone, locked in my room, just having these really intimate times with God, not even knowing that it is God, but just having this sense.
It's
that,
like, okay, retroactively now you know that it was God, but at that time you're just,
well, at that time, in this process. Yeah, I'm just like, well, I'm having these different thoughts and these different options that I never thought that I could pursue or even present to myself. Mm-hmm. And so the Lord is just saying, you know, give me your life. And I have no idea in terms of what that means. And I just said, you know what? Let's just simplify this whole thing. What if I just do the first part first? I'll worry about the whole give me your life thing after. And I'll just buy a one-way ticket to Hawaii. And so at that time, it was my 25th birthday. And I said, you know what? I'm going to.
So this is post-Wall Street.
Yeah, this is post-Wall Street, post-grad school, you know, kind of. I guess, I don't know if it's pre-midlife crisis or some kind of crisis, right? It was really at a time where I just knew that, okay, something needs to change. Something needs to change within me. And if it's a location thing, if it's a heart thing, I don't know what, but I'm just willing to do whatever it is to get out of this misery, out of this depression, out of this dark hole. But I was really willing just to be able to try anything. So kind of coming back to the whole Hawaii thing, just out of faith, I just bought a one-way ticket and I just said, okay, this is something, you know, this was on my 25th birthday. And I said, hey, this is, I've never bought myself anything or treated myself to anything, but this is going to be my one gift that, is going to be significant and just change my life. And I had shared with my mom. I said, Mom, I'm going to move to Hawaii. And she's like, what are you talking about? You're crazy. And you still have to, you know, I hadn't even finished grad school. And, you know, I was just on the verge of graduating. And I just felt that, no, it's, that's not what I want to do. I don't want to graduate. I want to pursue a different life.
Did you feel a sense of freedom, Alex? Just sensing, feeling like you could let go.
Oh, absolutely.
Even though you were that close to finishing. I know it just sounds completely outrageous,
yeah,
for us to talk about these things in this way, but a sense of, it's like you're letting go of this reality that you have.
Right.
And of course, single guy, you don't have
no obligations. No obligations,
right?
Sense.
So it's a very refined context, right? Am I on?
Yeah, no, you're directly on. Yeah, it was an absolute sense of freedom in terms of, you know, breaking my whole thought process, breaking everything that I believed in, even all my own dreams and expectations. Everything was just a breakdown of my perception, and to be able to have the Lord speak to me and, you know, present these new options and this new way of thinking. I felt that there was something, there was a whole kind of paradigm shift that was happening within me that I didn't have an explanation for at the time, but I knew something was changing. And in that change, there was absolutely just that freedom and that sense of, well, oh, there's a new discovery that I'm about to, new journey that I'm about to embark on.
So you buy the one-way ticket, not knowing what's on the other side.
No idea what's
in
store.
But just that it's Hawaii, and you remember when
the
you were
beaches,
younger. Coming.
The tans, the okay. The sunshine.
So you get here, and what happens?
And so I get here, and I have a duffel bag of clothes and my laptop and no friends, no connections, no place to live.
You get off the plane.
I just get off the plane, and I'm like, okay, now what? And so I book a hotel in Waikiki for a week. And I'm just sitting in my hotel, broke and with no future.
Broke, so you're not even, you're not sitting on a load of cash.
No, not at all. I have enough for me just to probably get through that week. And you know, but I know that, okay, there's some practical steps that I need to do in terms of apartment hunting. And, oh, here comes the whole job thing again. And so I just pretty much put myself back out there and went to interviews and, you know, got some pretty decent job offers. But there was just something just so unsettling about going back to another job, another being, you know, just working for another corporation or I knew that there was more. So I was just patient waiting it out. And then there was a turn that actually happened where I had sent my resume out to a number of people. And there was this person that replied to me. And he said, oh, we saw your portfolio and we just really love your work and we love for you to come in. And so, you know, just at that time, you know, I'm on Google just trying to research, okay, who are these guys? Who are they all about? And their company was a Christian company. They were a web design, motion graphics, really up and coming multimedia company. But they had the name of their company was Entheos, and in Greek it translates to have God within. And their website was just covered with all these Bible scriptures, and I was just like, okay, there's something kind of different about these.
Because you left that second part that the Lord had told you, right?
Right. I wasn't even thinking about
your life to me or live your life for me, right?
Yeah, I wasn't even thinking about that part. And all of a sudden, I'm getting all these little signs here and there. And I was like, you know, that's when I start remembering, wait, the Lord told me to give me his life. And I was like, okay, I still don't know what that looks like, but I think that he's kind of paving some kind of path here. And so I went to the interview, and just being so mainland, I was in a suit and tie, and I was going up. I was in a taxi, and you know, the taxi is taking me all to, you know, I'm like, yeah, where's this place? It's in Aliwa Heights. And they're like, what are you talking about? I was like, oh, Aliwa Heights. And so taking all the way out to like Aliwa Heights, and it's at this remote house, and I'm thinking, well, what kind of place operates inside a house? Like, you know, did I get the address wrong? Or So the taxi drops me off, and I go and I just knock on the door, and lo and behold, it's this whole house office of just a bunch of young entrepreneurs in their 30s, and they're just running this really, you know, fun and you know, just the space is super creative, and you know, so we sit down, and I meet this guy David Kusumoto, and we have a good time just sitting down, and we just really get along. And
you know, so this meeting with David Kusumoto and others who are there in this house office is really a divine appointment, something set up that Alex isn't even really aware of what's going to take place. But it goes back to that early day, you know, that early time. Remember when he, as a kid, he just wasn't ready to accept Christ like or follow Jesus like everyone else was. But the integrity of his heart, the truth, and it's coming to bear as he steps off the plane and now in Hawaii looking for a unique kind of work, not just a regular 9-to-5 job, but something that he feels more is there for him. And you know what? He's going to get even more than work, more than a job, something more. And when we come back, he'll share what that more is. In fact, it relates with you too. You don't want to miss this. Stay close to us now. Stay with us. We'll be back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcast with friends and family from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Mahalo to Wahiwa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahawai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, LNS Marine Services Consultants, Arsina Kailihiva of Purium, and orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
You're listening
listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Okay, now put this down, write this down, remember this. Christcentered.tv. Christcentered.tv, that's the website. That's how you can connect with Alex Chang and find out about the ministry of Christ-Centered Community Church where he serves. Christcentered.tv. Alex, in this pre-recorded interview, has been quite gracious to share the journey of faith that he has gone through. It speaks of authenticity, integrity. It speaks also of God, who knows the details of our lives and orchestrates things. But do we see it? Well, Alex is beginning to see it as he is here in Aleva Heights for a meeting with a business opportunity for work.
They're just running this really, you know, fun and, you know, just the space is super creative. And you know, so we sit down and I meet this guy, David Kusumoto, and we have a good time just sitting down and we just really get along. And, you know, I can just already sense that, wow, there's a difference, you know, in terms of who these guys are, the spirit of the place, just their welcoming and the totality of just, you know, being in this place with them. I could just sense, oh, this is not your normal. I didn't even know that you can do business inside a house. I was just so used to just that structure of working for somebody with a team in an office or more corporate environment, but just really seeing the joy that these guys had. There is just really something in that where I was like, man, I want this too. And it kind of came to the end of our interview, and I was talking to Dave and I said, yeah, you know, there's just something so different, you know, about you guys. And even just what I saw on the website, I saw that, you know, there's some scriptures, there's some references to the Bible. And I just had to ask him, hey, do you guys by any chance go to church? Because I'm at this place where I'm honestly just new and I have no friends, and I've been praying, and it sounds strange because I never told anybody that I'm praying, but I just really felt the Lord just say, hey, this is going to be a new start, and I want you to find some good friends and just a good place to, you know, just to build yourself. And I don't know if church has anything to do with it, but are you guys involved in that kind of stuff? And then, you know, literally everybody there, they just stopped working, and everybody just turned around and their faces just lit up, and they just said, yeah, we've been going to a church called New Hope. And it's, you know, they said it's just been one of the hugest blessings of our lives. And, you know, we would just love to invite you to come out and just join us for this experience. And from there, Dave just faithfully took me out to services. And, you know, by then, honestly, I wasn't convinced. I was like, this isn't another church thing. And you know, he brought me to Farrington, and that was pretty overwhelming for me at the time, but it just didn't, you know, it didn't really register, it really didn't make sense. And he's like, you know, there's another thing called Extreme. It happens every Thursday, and it's just a rally of a bunch of young adults getting together and worshiping God and just really going deeper into the Word. And I was, okay, I'll come check it out. And he's like, no, like, this is a place where you're really gonna find a connection. And And I said, okay, I'll take your word for it. So he takes me out, and, you know, even as we're getting into the parking lot, I just feel like, oh, like I'm having this experience in the spirit that I've never had before. And I could just hear, you know, it was at All Nations I think it was in Kalihi, but just hearing the music and the energy. I just felt, wow, like there's something in the spirit here that I'm just being drawn to. I can't really put my finger on it, but I sense that it's a good thing. And as we're going in, it's just literally 300-400 young adults just radically worshiping Jesus to just rock and roll music. And it's loud, it's blaring. And I'm used to being, you know, first foremost Presbyterian, traditional pews, pipe organs, the whole, you know, traditional church setup. But I'm just seeing this whole radical way of just coming to Jesus and just seeing the friendships and just this style was something that really ministered to me. And I was like, wow, church is different these days. Mm. And, you know, Dave took me to the, you know, just to sit down and just to engage into worship. I'm looking around and watching people put their hands up, and you know, some people are speaking in tongues and just really engaged. And I honestly wasn't there yet. And as we're going through a few songs, the worship leader, he came to that song by Chris Tomlin, "The Wonderful Cross," and I'm just looking at the lyrics on the big screen, and as he's reciting the main chorus of the song, something in that chorus, it just registered inside me. I had, you know, I came in with all kinds of questions, with all kinds of frustrations, even, you know, with loneliness and despair and depression, confusion about what the future hold, anxiety, you know, like a whole mix of stuff. But when I internalized what those lyrics said and just let them really register inside me, I just felt this huge burden just lift off. Mm. And had this overwhelming just sense of peace and comfort and joy. And I really just started weeping. And I, you know, and it was that night I decided to give my life back to the Lord. And I really felt that, okay, like, this is really his hand back upon my life. And it was always there, but I just never had been able to contextualize it. I had never been able to make any sense of it. But for some reason, everything was just drawn to that one moment, to where he spoke to me through that song and, you know, through those lyrics in a way that made me say, okay, I'm ready to give everything to him.
It's looks and feels like you draw back to that very moment. What is it about that moment? Describe what it was that just, even today, you go back to that time that was, that is so profound for you.
Yeah. I think the way that I can describe it, it was a very authentic moment with God. It was a very authentic moment where I could just be real. I could just say, hey, God, here I am. I'm broken. I don't have everything figured out, and I'm frustrated, and I'm confused, I'm tired, just all these different things that we won't normally share with people. But just in that embrace, that there is a warmth, and there is a way that he just said, you know what, like, just come into my presence. And
you know, I marvel, Alex, at how in your authenticity early on as a boy.
Right.
The Lord stuck with you. Mm. Stuck with you. Wall Street, Pasadena, Los Angeles, one-way ticket to Hawaii, in the quietness of the solitude of your room, just the two of you. Even before you recognized that it was him, mm, he was by your side, orchestrating, carving this path, and how personal it is. Mm. You know, we live in a world where people feel like, can very easily feel like one of many. I'm just a blip on the screen. You know, I disappear in the masses. Right. But God does not let that dot, mm, disappear. That dot is significant beyond words. And you are a testament of that. What would you say to someone right now who, as they listen, they feel like, well, the frustration, the loneliness, the brokenness, he's talking about how I feel right now. What, yeah, would you say to them?
I would say that, you know, God can identify with you. And even though we may feel that, oh, there's nobody that understands, or there's nobody that knows exactly what I'm going through, and a lot of time we try to find answers through people, or we try to find answers through books, or all kinds of different things to feed our questions. But in the Spirit, God really just understands everything that we're going through, and that it's really okay that we don't have everything figured out. I think a lot of us, we really wrestle when we don't have answers, when we don't have that peace, when we don't have you know, that expectation come to fruition, right? And we don't see the very things that we want to see with our eyes, and that's where, you know, a lot of the frustration comes in. But I think a lot of us feel that, you know, whether it's a performance thing where we don't want to let God down, we don't want to let our parents down, we don't even want to let our friends or our spouses down, but there's no way, you know, especially if we're being authentic, if we're being real, if we're just being completely honest before the Lord, there's no way that we can let him down. And, you know, and that he really understands to the depths of our deepest frustrations, what we're going through, and that he wants to comfort us, and he wants to let us know that, you know what, he's going to be faithful through it. Maybe it's going to be a time where we just need to have that kind of surgery, or have that kind of, you know, opening up our guts and just saying, God, like, mm-hmm. here's my stomach and you know, here's the ulcers and, yeah. and all the different things that, you know, in all its rawness and imperfections, like, here's how it is. And, you know, when we do that, we allow God to not only be invited into it, but we really allow him to say, okay, you know what, I'm going to put my hand upon it. I'm going to heal it up, and I'm going to perfect it in my image. But at the same time too, I need to stitch everything back up, and there's going to be a healing mm-hmm. process that, you know, because we've been living wounded for so long, but we don't know really what it's like to be recreated by the potter's hands.
And that's Alex Chang, words of encouragement out of his life, his experiences. And so, dear friend, I hope that you were moved, encouraged, strengthened through the insights of Alex Chang. You can find out more at ChristCentered.tv. You know, God's timing is indeed perfect. And there's no better time than right now to share the love of Jesus with someone near you. And if you haven't done so, look, this is the perfect moment for you to open your heart to Jesus Christ. Would you go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and click Get to Know Jesus? I've put together a special presentation. And to help us with your financial support, to make a donation, we sure appreciate it. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and click Partners. I want to thank you in advance for that. Psalm 36, verse 9, for with you is the fountain of life. In your light, we see light. It's always a blessing to be with you. A special thank you to Alex Chang. Find out more at ChristCentered.tv. Until next time, along with our technical producer, Chaz Ontai, guest coordinator, Jamie Lee Kwai, and web designer, Arlen Nagata, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org, and may God richly bless you with The Good Life.